Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'll just speak for a few minutes. The most important thing has already been said. That is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And because it's been said and said again, then everything is auspicious. I don't need to tell you, it's a pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. You all know the meaning of this verse? Oh, you know this verse? You know the first two lines of this verse? Shubhatna goranga das.
Raja vidya, raja vidya, pavitra vidya, pratyaksha vagamam, dharmyam susukam kartam.
Very good. Give the translation of that. All right. It doesn't have to be exactly as it's in the book.
King of all knowledge, secrets of all secrets, and purest, and fastest, topmost of them, realized by the sense of direct perception.
We have some idea. He's practically realized by direct perception, and it is everlasting and joyfully performed. Avyayam, Srila Prabhupada translated here is everlasting. It literally means not diminishing. Not diminishing. Vyaya means, it's often used to mean expenditure. So avyaya means it's not diminishing, doesn't become less. It's in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said a similar thing. What is that? All right, it's just the opposite of diminishing, it's increasing. Anandam vidhivardhanam. The ocean of pleasure is increasing. So you're practically experiencing this, so. Is it not? Prabhupada Das just came from Vrindavan. Did you find Krishna in Vrindavan? No answer. I've heard it said that Srila Prabhupada said that you won't find Krishna loitering in Loy Bazaar. Loy Bazaar is the chief market. So, Krishna can be found. How can Krishna be found? What's the answer? Anyone know the answer? Krishna can't be found. He's not. You can't hunt him down and trap him. Now I got Krishna. Krishna reveals himself. Atashi Krishna Namadi. Say it. No, no, this one is. This is most important. Say it. Translation?
Krishna can have the material senses.
Yeah.
By means of doing service, he will be revealed.
By means of doing service. Well, it's not the best choice of words. Again, it suggests that, well, there is a means, bhakti is the means to attain Krishna, that's true. But at the same time, we have to understand that Krishna is fully independent. And it's just like people think that, you know, I'll follow this vrata and that vrata, and then Krishna will be forced to give me his mercy. But it doesn't work like that. I'm going to chant 64 rounds a day and follow this vow and that vow, and then. But the devotees following vows and the karmis following vows are quite different. It's just like you'll find in Hari Bhakti Vilas, observance of Chaturmasi has various benefits. But devotees, it's like a karma mimamsa idea that I'll do this and I'll get this. So you think, okay, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and by doing that I'll get Krishna. Well, in one sense that's true, but it's not that Krishna is forced. When Krishna reveals himself, when he wants to the humble soul, the one who is simply begging for Krishna's mercy, not thinking that, you know, I've been chanting for 10 years, and it's about time that Krishna showed himself to me. Getting a little fed up of waiting here. Who the hell does he think he is anyway? This kind of attitude, it's not a fruitive. The devotee only wants to serve. And Krishna may or may not reveal himself. With such an attitude, when there is such an attitude, practically Krishna is already revealed to him. By not demanding Krishna's mercy, that in itself is a symptom of having Krishna's mercy. Because only someone with Krishna's mercy received through the parampara can even begin to think like that. Everyone's always thinking, what will I get? What will I get for me? But the real attitude is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just the opposite of what's in it for me. What's that verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in this regard? Yeah, you got it. Ashlesha Bhashavatam. Yeah, the last verse of Shikshastika, it's you could say it is the same selfish, selfless mood as the Nadhanam Najanam verse, but it takes it to a much further degree. In the Nadhanam Najanam verse, Lord Chaitanya is saying that, you know, I don't want anything of this material world, I only want to serve you. And the ultimate limit of such an attitude, of one who is far beyond even dreaming of dhanam, janam and sundari. If one says na dhanam, na janam and na sundarim, that means thinking about it still, but no, I don't want it. But still thinking about it. Dhanam, janam, sundarim, no, I don't want that. But in the Ashlesha verse, it's gone far beyond even thinking of what's in it for me, and to the extent that, well, if Krishna becomes happy by making me unhappy, alright, okay, fine, I'm ready, whatever. He can do whatever he likes, and he's my worshipful Lord without any condition, so generally, the idea is there, and Krishna is all attractive, so we're attracted to his beauty, his qualities. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, is praying. Radharani sometimes sees Krishna as being just, the way he behaves is just horrible. That's Radharani's outlook. That's why we don't discuss it very much, because it's very difficult from our perspective to understand this. But she says that she dresses herself up very nicely, and she has booked rendezvous with Krishna, and he just doesn't come. And he comes at the end of the night, and he was, anyway. But she says that anyway, sometimes they get angry at Krishna, but still, He is my Lord without any... He has to be. Just like the example is given, another example, this is more in the mood of a servant, not of the gopis, of course, are also servants, but this is by highest level. But the example is given that the child is punished by, may be punished by the mother. But still the child has no other refuge than the mother. The mother scolds the child. It's not that the child says, "Oh, forget it, you know. I'm going to go and find another mother." The child has no recourse. Even if the mother is angry with the child, still the child has no other recourse than the mother. So these are some of the moods of bhakti that have been revealed. The Vaishnava literature, there's literally hundreds and thousands of beautiful verses and songs, and various sampradayas praying, praising the glories of Krishna in his various forms and praising the qualities of bhakti. Everything is there in the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And sometimes if you have time, you can also study. The Bhagavatam itself is a great repository of full bhakti bhava. And the same mood is amplified and repeated from various angles by so many different devotees. Just recently, I was staying in the apartment of Dravida Prabhu, who's been editing Srila Prabhupada's books for as long as anyone can remember in California. He lives there. He has an apartment close to the temple. So he edits Prabhupada's books all day, and then he also composes verses in English. Some original compositions of his own, but mostly they are verses or prayers of previous acharyas, which he presents in rhyming English. So it's very wonderful to be with him, because from time to time he'll be typing away on his computer, and time to time he'll pop up and just start reciting some verses and giving his translation, and he's fully absorbed in Krishna Katha, appreciating the name, forms, qualities and pastimes of who? Krishna, that's right. So go on chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Be happy. Who made this? How is that? It's exactly the same. It's not a copy, is it? These paintings. How did you get it like that?
Just I run photos from design to paper sticker.
I see. This modern computer technology. Okay. It's quite attractive, isn't it? People, and when they come there, you see their heads are going up like this. So look at this. It's very nice. So there's no problem in Krishna consciousness. Everything's blissful. Then why do we have so many problems? Why is it so difficult to manage in our ISKCON society? Everyone's chanting Hare Krishna and being happy. Where's the problem? The problem lies between our ears. The mind. It's the as they say in Russia. I think in your language also. Instead of om, they have In English, sometimes if we're wondering, we say There's no real problem, is there? chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, do some service. As Srila Prabhupada often said, what is the difficulty? Think about it. Well, there is no difficulty. But it's called Manoratam, the chariot of the mind. We're running on the chariot. Manovyasanga, the attachments of the mind. The mind is flickering, going here and there. Except sankalpa, because I like this, I don't like that. We've been having some discussion about the simple living and high-thinking farm communities. Well, that's the whole point. Simple living and high-thinking. But it seems that for some people to even accept that principle is very difficult. They want to retain some measure of non-simple living. But then the complex thinking. High thinking means simple thinking also. Simple means simply understanding. There is Krishna. I am His servant. I have to serve Krishna. Everything in this world is meant for serving Krishna. I am meant for serving Krishna. Maya means the tendency not to serve Krishna. So it's actually very simple. And that simple understanding is fostered by a simple lifestyle. Once we start to bring in all the modern life, one word which summarizes the whole ethos of modern life is complexity. Everything is unnecessarily complex. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, if you want, in a big city, if you want something, you have to drive like 30 miles in a big city in America. You might have to drive 30 miles just to get some. People, they go shopping, they drive like 30, 40 miles for shopping. And then they get caught in a traffic jam. And so many come and they have to buy the petrol to go there. Everything's unnecessarily complex. There's no need of shops, actually. In simple village society, no need of shops. A weekly bazaar is enough. That's all. For outside, otherwise everything's produced at home, and some things you can get at the weekly, some things the weekly bazaar, maybe some utensils or bangles which are for ladies, you know, and things like that. So otherwise there's no need for shops. So the problem of going to the shop is solved by not having a shop. No need to go anywhere. Just cultivate going to Krishna. You can practically see that. I think I suggested there should be no electricity. I think it was my suggestion in the first place, wasn't it? Yeah. You stuck to that. I thought that if there's no electricity, then just like I saw when I was traveling in the villages in Bangladesh in the 1980s, there's just a normal thing that in many Hindu villages, after sundown, people chant Hare Krishna. What else are you going to do? It's too early to sleep. And it's their culture to chant Hare Krishna. They don't have TVs. So that's what they do. So that's what I thought. If you don't have electricity, then in the evening you'll chant Hare Krishna. And that's what you do. And that's what we're all supposed to be doing. in the Hare Krishna movement. And it makes a difference, doesn't it? Everything is surcharged with anandam buddhi, vardhanam, with ananda, with an ever-increasing ocean of bliss. So go on. Chant Hare Krishna. No need of complex life. It becomes complex as we preach in this complex world, and there's so many, it's just the nature of this world. Everyone is crazy to a greater or lesser extent, and as Kali Yuga progresses, the word progress here is not, doesn't mean improving, it just means increasing its force. Then we find generation by generation, people are becoming more and more messed up. So it becomes very difficult for them even to live with other people. We find more and more that people in the Western world, they don't get married and they don't have any real relationship with anyone throughout their whole life. In Scandinavia, in Finland, they have the city in Helsinki, the capital city, is full of small apartments. They're made for one person to live in. And people, they work, they come back, and they don't live with anyone. Maybe a dog. But mostly not dogs either. They at work they have friends, and then they have friends but nothing very serious or deep or like that. They live their whole life just alone. And they feel, oh, it's okay. No one bothers me. I don't bother them. Miserable, huh? Just what the companies want them to be, just working units, that's all. They do some work. And if we can replace them with robots, so much the better. So, come alive in Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna and living real lives. Real life means to interact with others. Raso vai saha. The Supreme Truth, Krishna, is rasa. So rasa, Krishna's not living on his own. The idea of the Mayavadis, they'll just become liberated, and they won't have any, their idea of perfection is not to have any relationship with anyone. Because the Absolute Truth is the deepest relationship. They got it so wrong. Their idea of spiritual life. They got it so wrong. Mayavadi is also chant Hare Krishna. It's become popular in America. Kirtan. You have concerts. 10,000 people pay to attend. Some of our devotees, they also, because they're good singers and they became part of that kirtan culture. But recently a book was brought out by Satyaraj about this, but I don't recommend that book. It just presents kirtan as a... There's all these Mayavadis, and then devotees say something, and then Mayavadis say something. There's no clear understanding that kirtan... Well, the first person who's a famous kirtanian, it's... You know, they have these yoga studios all over America, so kirtan has become popular through yoga, and it's all this Mayavada stuff. So the first person interviewed says, well, when I think of Krishna, I don't think of any person, a blue boy or anything like that. It's just some ideal. It's completely Mayavada. So, bogus. That kirtan is useless. Therefore, hearing, along with chanting, hearing must go on. Understand who is Krishna. What is this Hare Krishna mantra? What are we doing? It's not just a sound. that's pleasing. See, these kirtaniyas, they're popular. Why are they popular? They must have some potency. And people, they sing, oh, and I chant. The people join in too. They listen to the kirtan, they sing all these bhajans, and then at the end they chant Hare Krishna. Everyone joins in, so I'm told. So they must have some potency. And if people say, oh, I feel, you know, it's a spiritual feeling. So they have some potency, but that's the potency of Maya. There are many musicians who, you know, they have some potency. This on a flight in Canada, everyone was watching this movie of a tour of the Rolling Stones in Canada. The Rolling Stones is the most famous rock group probably ever in the history of rock music. So you see, you can see they're all old men now. They're all probably over 60 years old. They have all these people jumping up and down. You see them on the stage, they're old men, and they're wiggling their hips like they're some kind of sex icon or something. But they have some potency to get to evoke a response in people. The music is very powerful, and together with their personalities, they have charisma. So they evoke a response, and people, they pay lots of money, and it's a big thing. The music, it's for many people, music is like, it's the most important thing in their life. It's like they get some feeling out of that. So now, here you're getting feeling out of kirtan, but be careful that it doesn't become just the feeling of kirtan without the understanding of kirtan. That some expertise is there, singing in tune, in time, which is not found everywhere among kirtaniyas in ISKCON. I just came from Vellore. I won't say anything more in that regard. But not everyone can sing in tune, in time, or even if they can, not everyone's voice is it's not in key, or it's not very sweet. It's just congenitally, which means from birth. It's just like a frog or something like that. I used to have a good, you know, a sweet sounding voice, but it got lost somewhere 20 years ago or something. So there's no doubt that if one has a good voice and can sing nicely and everyone can play nicely, it has an effect. It captures the mind. But we have to be careful not to be captured just by the music, the musical effect. The spirit of service to Krishna, and praying to Krishna, that is the essence of kirtan. So there's no doubt that if one can sing very nicely, that for Krishna's pleasure, that is pleasing to Krishna. All art is meant for pleasing Krishna. It's stated about Surup Damodar, the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that his voice was just like that of a Gandharva. So that's very pleasing to Krishna, no doubt. But there may be many persons who can sing in a very charming way who are not pleasing to Krishna. And they might even be chanting Hare Krishna, but they're not pleasing to Krishna. So always remember that Krishna kirtan means that kirtan which is pleasing to Krishna. And much of the kirtan which goes on in Bengal may be very expertly performed, but it's not pleasing to Krishna, because the persons who are performing it don't have a clear understanding of what it means to please Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. That's all. I was only going to speak for 5 minutes and it became maybe 20 minutes. So I won't speak more now. Hare Krishna. Thank you for enthusiasm and devotional service. Go forward. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't stop chanting Hare Krishna. I'm not saying that by any means. I'm saying that hearing and serving must accompany kirtan. Hare Krishna.